My message today is so simple. I hope you don't throw books or something at me on your way out. But maybe you never need to be reminded of the simple things. I do. And this is one time I'm preaching the message I intended to preach. First time in many weeks. You may say, when I'm finished, don't ever try it again. Psalm 77. Anybody here that feels miserable? Let's see your hand. I haven't even been feeling miserable for quite a while. How many are absolutely sure you're going to stay miserable when I'm done? It's kind of fun being miserable, isn't it? After a while, it's wonderful. You don't have to try anything new, just stay miserable. Well, this is a song of misery. So if you came here expecting to be made happy, don't leave prematurely. I might achieve that if you get the message before I'm finished, but it's not going to start out too pleasant. I cried unto God with my voice. Even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me. Like Carlyle said, God's in his heavens, but he's not doing a damn thing. You ever feel that way? I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Big deal, he's listening. Didn't change much. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Now, this is not going to be one of those grinny messages like you get from old Floaty down south, but not going to be a Christian Science message that says what you are miserable about really doesn't exist. Believe you me, what I'm miserable about exists. You got to get into the poetry of this and push past the poetry to where you live. My sore ran in the night. That doesn't mean bed sores. It means that outpouring of misery that when you close the door and you've stopped all the distractions and there you are, you and your misery. And it just bleeds out of your inner core being. Cry unto the Lord about it. And he gave ear. I don't need his ear. Anybody ever helped you much with their ear? Oh, listening, yeah, but I mean, when I talk to God, it isn't just his ear I want. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. You ever tried to fight it out of your system? Come on, get inside this with me or it's not going to do a thing for you. The message is so simple, I have to labor to try to do something that will justify all the time that you took to get here, because the message is going to be only a couple of sentences. You got that? Come on, get in here with me. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. Do you know that feeling or not? How many were sore all night? You toss and you turn. And your soul runs all night. You plan terrible things to remove the sore. And you tell God about it. And He gives ear. Don't you even think of anything else. God, it's awful to pastor such a carnal crowd. My soul refused to be comforted. You ever have that feeling? Why don't they just shut up? You're thinking to yourself, they don't understand the problem. Because you can't really at times like this find a friend that'll say to you, well, here's a gun, why don't you shoot yourself? So they keep telling you it's not as bad as you think it is. Yes, it is. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. You're starting to get into this with me. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Now, that sounds real spiritual. Until you know that Selah means... I mean, some places you say Selah three times in a row and they'll be running in the aisles. Selah means think of that. Just think of that. I remembered God and was troubled. Yeah. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, think of that. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. This is what God's doing. He's mad now at God for a moment. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. You ever felt that your eyelids are propped open with toothpicks? God's doing that to me. What are you saying? I've warned you. We've got to string this part out at least 20 minutes. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. Gnash your teeth. Now ask how many are miserable this morning. You held your hand up, you that were honest. The best of you sat there and lied. I mean, did anybody here won the lottery last night? Could it just about take that to remove the misery from most of us? Are you getting a feel for this guy who wrote this psalm? You ever feel that way? How many came to church feeling that way? You ought to have my job, preaching to a crowd that starts out like that. Cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. You know, there's something about mankind. It's like I often kid when I was in my dad's church, fundamentalist church. They had testimony services when I was a kid. And you'd always count on this 12-year-old boy. He'd get up and he had his little testimony. I want to thank the Lord for delivering me from the terrible life of sin. 12 years old. I'm sure he must have punched a duck off of a mud puddle or something. That's the worst sin he ever committed. But we think that our lifespan, be it short or long, we think it's long. I mean, 12 years is a long time to a 12-year-old kid. I feel like I've lived forever. I know it's the 20th anniversary. I thought it was the 19th, but that was just a miscalculation of counting. I feel like it's 200th anniversary. And I've been reading, my recreational reading. I do that in the John. I like to throw that in every so often just for all these preachers that try to make their congregations think that they have no such metabolistic urges. And I want to tell the members of their congregation that's the way they bushwhack deacons' wives and young girls in their congregation. They give off this image. They don't have metabolistic urges. Bang, bang, you're surprised. Nobody will ever have that illusion about me. So in this reading compartment, my current reading is... Now this... If you don't listen closely, the play on words is going to buy me another 5 minutes. The physics of immortality. Man, it's heavy reading. One of the most brilliant physicists of our day has taken most of the theories of cosmology and given a thoroughly convincing proof that the universe is not predetermined to end in a heat death where all energy ultimately expends itself, or the alternative, eternal return, where it somewhere out in the vast probability of mathematical calculation repeats everything again. But rather it is immortal at a place called the Omega Point. And in reading, now how did a phone get left on the hook against all my rules in this sanctuary? I'm in such a good mood, I'm going to let that one pass. But it better not ring again. Shall I have them come and sing Amazing Grace again while I deal with this? Take that damn telephone off the hook. He talks in the physics of immortality. See, I remember exactly where it was. Of what is known as subjective time versus space-time, linear time. And we know from Einstein, to you people that, and this is a pretty smart church, that have stayed up on things, that time's relative. Not as fixed as we think. And that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, theoretically. But subjective time ages some people more than others. That's the point I'm making. Some people's brain just sort of plods along, and they don't even keep up with time. They can't remember what happened today because their mind hasn't gotten there yet. They'll have to be told tomorrow by somebody that was with them. Then it will become memory. They never really enjoy the present. It's memory when someone else tells them about it because they're just too slow to be where they're at. You got that? Thank God I don't have to preach to a church like that. There are some. The big F-word churches. Fundamentalist churches. Got it? I think I'm going to plan another short message so I can just have fun like this, wasting the time to get to the message. Some people's brain, subjectively, lives through so much that a linear year is 20 years in their subjective activity. Now, all of that was to say, that's why I feel like I've pastored this church 200 years. We've gone through enough to fill the history book of a church wanting to write its 100th anniversary issue. And time has that ability when you've got an active brain. It seems like it's been a long, long time. It may have been short. All of that is to give some meaning to this fifth verse. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient time. Man, life's pretty hard on you when you view your own life that way. 5 years ago, or the last 15 years of my life, days of old, ancient times. You got it? Otherwise, you're not going to apply this verse to you. Every other verse fit. Soar in the night, cannot speak. Woe is me. If I'd titled this message, I would have called it that Hee-Haw Psalm. Because the thing I remember about Hee-Haw is not the guy with a hair transplant picking on a guitar or something like that. And the guy with a face looks like a horse stepped on it, singing and whining. And all the girls whose heads you cannot see for the other two boobs. What I remember are those four guys laying on their back singing gloom, despair, and agony on me. Now that, and the hound dog, what really set it off. They were sitting there, man, he looked like they should have looked. With his droopy eyes and his ears as they sang gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's what this song is. And all of you, I think, are tuned in through the fourth verse. I want you to understand the fifth verse fits you too. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. We're not talking about when they built the pyramid. We're talking about the misery of your history. Whatever is gloom, despair, and agony on you. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. And this is what I came up with. I mean, sitting there with my eyes propped open, my sore, bleeding in the night, God listening to me, I'm inquiring, what's the meaning of all this? And I come up with a genius conclusion. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. Think of that. Now, come on. How many of you, now I'm ceasing being humorous, how many of you in your misery have genuinely considered the possibility of those statements just made? That God's just done gone from you forever. He shut off His tender mercies. He's forgotten to be gracious. Whatever drops of grace He's throwing out is hitting everybody but you. Sheila. Am I boring you? Think of that. Sheila. You see, this message is not one of those where you're taking notes. In a few minutes, I'll tell you some notes to take. Not one where you're working real hard with your brain. It's one where I'm going around the subject. And as you know, I'm a devotee of the field theory of learning, the so-called Gestalt theory. That you hit people with a big mass of things instead of learning like a string of beads. This and add that and add this other. You just hit them with the mass. And then all of a sudden insight comes. And you're able to suddenly orient the field. For you that have studied learning theories and education or psychology, it's so-called field theory. From the German Gestalt. It's what I want to happen today. I want to walk around this subject. Hopefully bring you to the point where your misery, big or little, long or short, you identify with it and identify with the mistake this man's making that I haven't yet clearly defined and come to the insight that he comes to that can deal with that misery. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah, think of that. I want to think of it. And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my infirmity. This catalog of misery, God listening but appearing to do nothing. When I diligently search and think about my condition and what I've seen God do, my impression is he's forgotten to be gracious. He's just not there for me. He doesn't want to help me. And I said, this is my infirmity. How many of you have your Bible open to the 77th Psalm? See your hand. There are four words that follow. There's a colon after the word infirmity. And then there are four words, but I will remember. Is that what you got in your Bible? But I will remember. Take your pencil. Now's the time for notes. And scratch it out. He's already told us what he's remembering. Isn't it in italics? How many have it in italics? What's italics mean? Added by the translator. Not in the original. In this case, not even justified by the original. Here is this, feels sorry for himself, down on his luck, full of misery, can't sleep at night, sore of spirit, bleeding out, crying out to God. God listens, kind of a statement of faith, but he's obviously not thinking God's doing anything. Then he searches diligently in his heart, back over his days, and he comes to the conclusion, God's not going to show any mercy anymore. He hath done forgotten to be gracious. Think of that. This is my infirmity. But I will remember. Oh. Like there's some sequence. It's concomitant. It's happening at the same time. Suddenly with a sharp break, just simply read, the years of the right hand of the Most High. There's a break. It's okay if the translator wants to say, well, his mind was spinning and he remembered. He's not in that kind of frame. It's as though a burst of insight hits. Not memory, just a statement, a reality. Bang! He stops in mid-sentence, dot, 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 dot. Then, the years of the right hand of the Most High, I will remember. The works of the Lord. All he's been remembering up till now is himself. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? And I want to do something with you. Said you'd come to notes, and I'm getting close to the message now. I could have done this in 5 minutes. You got a pencil ready? Let's do something interesting. Now, nothing's going to change in the circumstances of this man. And I beat it to death for all of you and for me. Nothing has changed that made me miserable when I got here, made me miserable yesterday, and will make me miserable tomorrow. Nothing in my circumstance has changed, and most likely won't by tomorrow. God's fast, but normally not that fast. Nothing's going to change. You're going to go home. You're still going to be married to the same person. Or trying to get rid of this other person. You still got to confront that idiot of a boss. Or those absolute brain-damaged lunatic employees. If you extended your taxes to the maximum and sent off the check, you got to find the funds to cover it before they put it in twice. Your neighbors are absolute lunatics. And they will be tomorrow. Whatever your problem is, the car won't start just like it has every morning. We're not talking about your circumstance. Neither is this just a fuzzy, whistle-in-the-dark message. Because we're dealing with the reality of your circumstance. That's where I part with the Christian Science. Christian Science people who deny its reality. But we're dealing with another reality. And you in the middle. And to which are you going to plug in? That's why I'm going to say you're going to throw rocks at me when you get out of here, because I'm going to tell you something you already know. But I'm going to put the meat and flesh on it of a psalm that you can take home and read. Where are you going to put your focus? You know what faith is. It's action based upon belief, sustained by confidence, and it's all three of those things. One's not enough. And the faith that gets God's attention is action based upon a belief in His Word and a confidence that God is faithful to His Word and will carry it out. So we're getting down to focus. You're going to focus in on the reality that is God and His Word, or you're going to focus in on the cause of your misery. This business of I cried unto God, well, you know, abstract God up there, some father figure that's going to, if I cry and talk long enough, do what I want. No. He's going to be what He is. That's pretty good. If you can get your eyes on it. Now, what I want you to see is take Psalm 77. And let's do some counting. First verse. We're going to take personal pronouns and put them on the left. I or me or my. And then we're going to talk about God, thee or thy, and put it here on the right. Psalm 70, this is so simple I'm worried about preaching it. I, there's one, cried unto God, there's one, with my, there's two, voice, even unto God, two, with my voice, three, and He gave ear unto me. The eyes have it. 4-3. In the day of my trouble, I, that's six now, sought the Lord, My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. You listening on radio, I've got two columns now on the blackboard, and I'm putting little slash marks for the personal pronoun I or me or my, and slash marks for God. Verse 3, I remembered God. God gets one there, and I get one. And was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Who's winning here? Huh? Huh? My eyes. All right. Just say me. Me. That's better. Because I can hear that from the mass better than I. I sound a little too much like thy. What verse are we on? We just sealed it, didn't we? For thou. Oh, God starts out winning one. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Fifth verse. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Six. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Man, I really cleaned up on that one. God didn't even get inside the door in that verse. Seventh verse, will the Lord, hey, I'm here, will the Lord cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? Okay. I got a whole verse. We'll give God a whole verse. Because I got five, and He got two. Is His mercy clean gone forever? Verse 8. Doth His promise fail forever? Well, I gave Him two verses. But I still got five and one, and He got four and two. Where are we now? Nine. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. 5, 10, 15, 20. Through those nine verses. 5, 10, 13. You see where the focus is? A little short of twice as much. Now let's look at the second half, because you take the ninth verse out, or the tenth verse out, you could hardly recognize it's the same writer. Tenth verse. And I said, one, this is my infirmity. Two, but I will remember. Now that one he didn't say, because that's added by the translator. I'm leaving that out. I'll put it in. I need all I can get here. This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand, one of the names of God, of the Most High. 11th verse, I will remember the works of the Lord. Lord gets one. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. 12th verse, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doing. I warn you. Thy way, O God, verse 13, is in the sanctuary. Who, pronoun, is so great a God as our God? Thou, our next verse, 14th verse, thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. 15th verse, Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. 16th verse, the waters saw thee. O God, the waters saw thee. You're getting all these and thys and God. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. 17th verse, the clouds poured out water. The sky sent out sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. 18th verse, the voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings trembled the world. The earth trembled and shook. 19, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. From the 10th verse on, six me's, and 5, 10, 15, 25, 28 references to God. I told you the message is so simple. I can't believe that I ever forget it and have to go back to it again. What changed? Focus. What changed? Recognition in faith that produces the belief that is acted on and sustained by a confidence that God's in control. Let's redo it now when we do the shift. Let me give you the significance of this break so it's not lost in the phrase, but I will remember. I said, this is my infirmity. All this trouble is me, and God's listening, but He ain't doing anything. Suddenly, like, and yeah, but I will remember, fills in the space, but doesn't really give us the feel for what happens. Have you ever been running off the mouth about something and then suddenly, like a white light of intensity, a thought penetrates, hey, I'm going the wrong direction. I'm heading for a wreck. I better put the brakes on fast. I've just pushed it too far. I mean, I've complained. I've cried out to God. I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm down on my luck. I'm full of misery. I'm belly aching. I'm yelling. I can't sleep. But I went too far when I said, this is my infirmity. No. Not some, man, while I'm saying that, but I will remember. You ever had a fight with somebody you love? And in the heat, you said something, the minute it came out, you could cut your tongue off. That's the frame of what's happening here, that I've got to get you inside to make the point of the message. We get real wound up sometimes in our belly aching. Yeah, 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 yeah. And it goes past the tolerance level of yin yang. Okay. My sore bleeds in the night. I'm full of misery. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. But I've moved editorially one step that can take me outside the pale. This is editorial conclusion. This is my infirmity. To the chosen of God. Not so. This, same reference point. This is the years of the right hand of the Most High. I've been putting my color on it. I've been putting my feeling on it. I've been putting my complaints around it. I've been belly aching because God doesn't give me a rosy glow all the time. But I'm going a little too far, and I'm moving outside of faith when I say, this is my infirmity. This is the years of the right hand of the Most High. I've got to take long enough to bring us inside the Hebrew frame of mind. They speak in symbols, as we talked for weeks of the names in the Promised Land being the Word of God that they read off the geography of that day. There were certain names that conveyed meaning established in the minds of the people. The right hand of God was always the instrument intruding in symbol into man's history to affect it God's way, according to God's plan, with His mercy, with His righteousness, with His joy, with His purpose. Not the left. We even carry that attitude clear into modern Latin, where we get our word sinister from the word for left. In the study of the pyramid, it's off-center, to the left, not to the right. Off God's plan. The right hand of God is always, it qualifies as a name of God. It's the symbol as though God has chosen a door by which He will move through and through which He will communicate His will. As we talked in teaching on Ephesians, that word log, lager log, the Greek root, coming in one form through leg, another form through log, which is to choose or word, and combined at its root that God does choosing with His Word. And He spoke the worlds into existence with His Word. And that's why they chose Logos as the identity of Christ. Right hand of God was a symbol of the chosen instrument by which God worked His will on His people. It's the right hand of salvation in Isaiah. It's the right hand of righteousness in Deuteronomy. It's the right hand of love in the Song of Solomon. And every one of you knows the phrase, if you think about it, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And where does the advocate who redeemed us and paid with His own blood the price of our sins and rose to be our advocate against the accuser of the brethren, where is He seated? Right hand. God the Father. This God, in His lamenting, at least as David had the good sense to go to Mahanaim, this guy had the good sense to check himself. This is my infirmity. There's no meaning to my life. There's no way out of this maze. This is my infirmity. That's to deny God, to deny His care, to deny His provision, to deny His knowledge. And he checked himself. Give him credit. When he said, going too far, this is my infirmity. I said, well, here I am in hell just as I expected. He had the good sense to check. This is the years of the right hand and the other name, the Most High, the all-powerful God. It goes to the root of what Christian faith is. We're not naive people who deny reality. I've preached to you for 20 years. When you're in a valley, you're in a valley. But blessed men go through the valley. I've preached that when you're in darkness, it's dark. But don't doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. Your misery is real in terms of circumstance. But so is God. And the fundamental faith that keeps the sanity of Christians, the steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord. These are promises abundant. I'm just going to pick a few. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct thy path. I have said it for 20 years. I'm going to start in the 21st year saying it. Some churches keep their people constantly confused. As though God, with one hand they teach, God gave His Son, came to seek and to save that which is lost. And they've been playing hide and seek ever since. And the mission of Christians is to try to find God who's hiding from them. What idiocy. And they're all paranoid. How do I know the will of God? How can I find the will of God? I'm going to say what I've said from the day I arrived. If you really want God's will, you know the truth of your nature. You don't have to bow to all the traditions of men that make void the Word of God. But as you work out your faith between you and God, and you're convinced that you come to a truth that's from God, you know in your conscience and your spirit whether or not you'll bow to God and His will. Don't let some cantankerous, half-backslidden, judgmental saint put a guilt trip on you because you won't bow to her way or his way. But every one of you know whether or not you can say with Paul, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know whether you'll do what God wants or not. And it's not His way to keep you confused. When in doubt, don't change. And I've said it, and I'm going to say it again. If you really want God's will for your life, it's harder to get out of it than it is to stay in it. He is in control. He gives us enough freedom to mess things up and make it hard for Him. But He is in control. And my sanity is always based on these promises. I quote it over and over. Lord, Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprisings. Psalm 139. Thou understandest my thoughts afore all. I don't have to convince you. And God already understands. Thou compassest my path. We're a peculiar people, was Peter's word in the New Testament. The Greek is a pictorial word of a dot with a circle around it. You have to illustrate the word. It's translated peculiar. That's it. A dot with a circle around it. We've been teaching from the Psalm, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that trust Him, that lean on His word. Get off of it. It just doesn't look like God's will. God don't know what He's doing because I'm in a mess. But when you leave here today, get out of the attitude, this is my infirmity, this terrible mess is going to kill me. Get out of that. Say, it's your mess, God, and this is the years of my infirmity, and by God's grace, I'm going to last until you get me out of it. I do not believe that many Christians even come close to believing what Jesus said. The hair of your head's numbered. God doesn't even know what I've been going through for 7 days. What a wake-up call to stop and say, not only that, He knows how many hair I've lost this week. God counting hair. That's okay if He only counts mine, but it irritates the hell out of me that He's over there wasting time counting your hair when I have all these problems He needs to solve. He can do it all. He sees the sparrow fall. Some of you came in here today, be honest. So buried in your misery, it didn't even occur to you that God might be in control. That He has you. If He didn't put you in the mess, He's there with you in the mess. And as you get your eyes on Him in trust instead of your misery in wailings and groanings, He'll lead you through it. The years of the right hand of the Most High. That's the name approaching Lord of Hosts. He can make the mountains move. He stops the sun for Joshua. That was the perceptual idea. I mean, I've listened to scientists say the sun doesn't stop, we go around it. Well, you want to read the King James, we're in the middle of a battle. Joshua's saying to all of his troops, now troops, God's going to make the earth stop revolving for a day. And He's going to make all of this elliptical orbit and all the movements of the universe and all the scientific accuracy. And let me give you some discussion of physics and the movement of the atoms that had their heads chopped off by the enemy before he got the speech out. It looked like the sun stopped. And some of you people that get worried about the Bible and science need to understand it's written from the perceptive side of those that were writing it, as they perceived it, not as God perceived it. God knows the earth doesn't have four corners. But some of his people thought there were four corners when their head was the only four-cornered sphere around. So that's the sidebar about the so-called issue between science and the Bible. The message is simple. Are you going to look on your misery in isolation, in self-pity? This is my infirmity. Stoically, bear up under it. Or are you going to say, this is the right hand or the ears of the right hand of the Most High? A year ago this time, I could never have dreamed in my wildest imagination of the things that have hit me and the changes that have occurred in my life that permanently affect the way in which I can be an instrument and be faithful to whatever years remain in my calling. I could not have conceived. Now I know and can say with peace and assurance on this last year of my 20th year, this has been the year of the right hand of the Most High, who had in His hand one of the stupidest pieces of clay He's ever worked on, who, in spite of Gene Scott, He entered in. And how many times have I told you the right translation of Romans 8:28? Not all things work together for good, but God enters into all things to work His good to them which are the called according to His purpose. I hope you can walk out of here today and look up, not whining, but say, I'm going to trust You, that Your hand is big enough to come into this mess and this misery and carry me through it according to Your purposes, and I'm in good hands, not with Allstate. The right hand of the Most High. And that's my message for you guys.